Welcome back to Deaton B College. Today we're building something that really matters in jungle and old school drum and bass, a dark side intro that controls the room instead of just filling time. Because the intro is not dead space, it's not just atmosphere for the sake of atmosphere. It's DJ utility, tension design, and identity. It has to hint at the groove, establish the mood, and leave the drop with room to hit like it should. We're working inside Ableton Live 12, and the goal is a 16-bar intro that feels cold, haunted, broken, and forward-moving. Something that sits nicely before the full drum and bass statement, but never gives everything away too early. If the intro is too busy, it steals the drop's impact. If it's too empty, it feels cheap. The sweet spot is controlled tension. So before you touch sound design, map the arrangement. Think of the intro in four phrases. The first four bars are atmosphere and texture, with only the lightest rhythmic hints. Bars 5 to 8 bring in break fragments, but still restrained. Bars 9 to 12 introduce a bass teaser or low-mid movement more clearly. Then bars 13 to 16 build the tension, peak, and clear space for the drop. That simple phrase map keeps you from overworking a loop. It also helps you think like a DJ, which is huge in this style. Drop locator markers at bar 1, 5, 9, 13, and the first bar of the drop. That way, you're always hearing the shape of the tune, not just staring at a loop. Start with a moody atmosphere that leaves a hole in the low end. It could be a long sample, a reverb tail bounced from a hit, a filtered noise layer, or even a warped fragment from a break or stab. Then shape it with auto filter, EQ 8, and reverb. High pass it somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz so it stays out of the sub lane. Low pass it if it's too bright. Keep the wet signal controlled. What to listen for here is depth and menace, not a pad that fills everything. If you can already imagine the bass line sitting under it without masking, you're on the right path. And if the texture feels too polite, a little saturator with soft clip can add enough grit to help it translate on smaller speakers without turning the intro fuzzy. Now bring in the break energy, but keep it skeletal. This is where a lot of producers accidentally give away the whole tune too early. You want break fragments, not a full break statement. Think ghost kick, a bit of hat movement, maybe a snare ghost or rim transient. Use warping or slicing in Ableton to keep it chopped and alive. A strong dark intro often uses three break ideas at once. A low ghost kick or tom fragment, a hi-hat tick or shaker detail, and one or two snare ghosts or rim-style hits. That gives you movement without fully announcing the drop. Put EQ8 on the break track and clean it up. High pass the junk low end if needed. Notch any harsh ring if it starts stabbing too hard. Sometimes a little low pass around 10 to 12 kHz helps push it into that murky jungle zone. What to listen for is whether the break is hinting at momentum or already feeling like the drop. If the intro grooves harder than the actual drop, you've gone too far. In jungle and old school DNB, the intro should suggest the engine, not show the whole machine. Now comes the big decision. What kind of bass teaser are you using? You've got two strong options. Option 1 is a sub-warning. That's a simple sign or filtered bass note in operator or wavitable. Keep it sparse. One note every two or four bars, or a short two-note phrase. Filter it so the body is felt more than heard, and maybe add a touch of saturator or drum bus so it reads on systems that don't extend very low. Option 2 is a Reese shadow. Narrow, filtered, detuned, and kept under control. Let it feel like it's coming through fog. Automate slow filter movement. Use utility to keep the core narrow or mono. This version is great if you want the intro to feel darker, heavier, or a bit more aggressive. Why this works in DNB is simple. The teaser bass decides whether the drop feels like a reveal or just a continuation. You want the intro bass to imply the full character, not replace it. That restraint is where the power is. Before you automate anything flashy, lock the bass to the drums. This is where advanced producers separate themselves from people just making a good loop. Soloing can lie to you. A bass note might sound massive on its own and still fight the snare ghost or thump all over the kick once it's in context. So check the groove with the break fragments active. Listen to whether the note lands too early, whether the low end masks the break thump, whether the groove leans forward in a good way or drags behind the pocket. If needed, nudge the MIDI a little behind the beat for a darker feel, or shift audio clips by tiny amounts. Small timing changes can make a massive difference. What to listen for here is breathing. The bass should pull the listener inward, not sit on top of the break like a loop stamp. If it feels stiff, reduce density before adding more effects. Less can absolutely be more here. Now shape the tension with automation, but keep it intentional. You are not automating just to make things move. You're automating to create pressure. Use filter cutoff on the atmosphere or bass teaser. Automate reverb sends on key hits. Narrow stereo width before the drop. Add a delay throw on a chopped vocal or stab if you've got one. And use volume dips before phrase changes if you need a subtle pull. Good DNB automation usually works in readable arcs. Open something a little over 4 bars. Then give the final 2 bars a more obvious rise. Then strip things back right before the drop. For example, the bass teaser might open from around 120 Hz to 300 Hz across 8 bars. The atmosphere's reverb might rise slightly in the final phrase. The width can narrow in the last bar so the drop lands more tightly in the center. This works in DNB because the dance floor reads movement fast, but only if the movement has purpose. If you automate every bar, it starts feeling like a plug-in demo. Controlled automation gives you phrasing. It gives you anticipation. It feels like the tune is breathing. Now add 1 or 2 punctuation hits and stop before you overseason it. This could be a reversed hit into bar 5 or bar 9, a sub drop before the final section, a short vocal stab, a metallic impact, a processed break crash. Use stock Ableton tools if you want. Reverse the hit, fade it in, throw a bit of reverb on it before resampling, or use echo for a dark tempo sync tail. Drum bus can help if you want it to feel more aggressive. What to listen for is identity. If the intro already has atmosphere, break fragments, bass shadow, and 1 strong punctuation element, you may already have enough. You do not need 8 different transition objects fighting for attention. Every added sound should either clarify the groove or heighten the drop. If it doesn't do one of those 2 things, leave it out. Now think like an arranger, not a loop designer. Bars 1 to 4 should be sparse and ominous. Bars 5 to 8 should reveal more rhythmic evidence. Bars 9 to 12 should make the bass teaser clearly legible. Bars 13 to 15 should push tension to the peak. And bar 16 should strip back enough to let the drop entrance feel huge. This is where the DJ function really matters. A dark side intro has to survive 3 tests at once. It needs to sound good alone. It must not waste the drop. And it has to make sense when a DJ is blending it into or out of another tune. That's why the final 2 bars matter so much. They either give you a clean blend lane, or they give you a statement lane. If you want it more DJ mixable, keep the last 2 bars cleaner, with thinner percussion and a stable tonal floor. If you want more cinematic impact, leave a stronger pre-drop hit and a more dramatic flourish. Both can work, just choose one. Once the movement is right, commit the useful parts to audio. That's a big workflow move in Ableton. Print the reversed hit. Print the bass teaser if the automation is getting complicated. Print any atmosphere with delay or reverb motion. Print break chops that are already rhythmically locked. Resampling helps you escape endless micro tweaks and lets you edit the audio more musically. It also fits the old-school jungle mindset, where character often comes from imperfect cuts and printed movement. A really useful habit is to duplicate the track first so you keep a safety version. Then work with the printed audio for the final arrangement and fade shaping. That keeps you moving forward instead of endlessly polishing. Now check the intro in full context, not in solo. This is where a lot of great sounds fall apart, because the solo loop was never the real test. Play the intro with the drop drums and bass present. Ask yourself, does the intro leave room for the drop to feel bigger? Does the teaser bass conflict with the real bass line? Does the break energy point to the downbeat, or blur it? What to listen for is low mid build up around 150 to 400 Hz, and too much rhythmic information before the drop. If the intro feels strong alone but weaker in context, trim a layer. Don't just keep adding polish. In DNB, contrast is often the missing ingredient, not more sound. A few common mistakes are worth keeping in mind. One is making the intro too full too early. That kills the drop. Another is letting the sub or low mid leak through the atmosphere, which muddies the whole lane. Another is widening bass elements too much, which sounds huge in headphones but collapses in mono and in clubs. Another is over-automating every bar, so the intro feels busy but not tense. And another big one is choosing break slices that are too finished. If the break already sounds like the drop, you've lost the intro function. A useful coaching tip here is to work in passes. First get the phrasing right, then get the low end under control. Only then add character. Then print what's already behaving. That process keeps the track functional, which is exactly what a dark intro needs to be. And here is a reminder that's worth holding on to. In this style, less often wins. The emotional weight is already there in the break choice and tonal center. You don't need to prove every idea at once. Let the intro imply power. Let the listener fill in the missing energy. That restraint can make the drop feel heavier than a fully exposed loop ever could. If you want a few advanced directions, you could make it brake first, where chopped brake ghosts lead before the atmosphere comes in. You could make it bass-led, where the teaser bass is the main identity. You could make it rave memory flavored, with a filtered old-school stab under the brakes. Or you could do a pressure cooker intro, where the space narrows over time instead of a sound growing bigger. For the final touch, remember stereo hierarchy. Keep the bass core narrow. Let the atmosphere live wide. Keep the sub disciplined in the center. That preserves mono compatibility and helps the drop hit with clarity.